really is lovely, and it's so good to see so many people that I don't see on a Tuesday at the Guild. And it's so good to see all the people sitting in the same sort of places. It's lovely, yeah. There you are, Sue and Liz, and yeah, and Marianne, yeah, that's that corner, and Ruth, and, yeah. Oh, and it's lovely to have the senior minister at Enfield Baptist Church here this morning checking that I behave myself. 6 months ago, I began a kind of new chapter in my life, and I left here and end of July, beginning of August, and wow, I didn't know what the next chapter would really bring. I knew I wasn't really retiring. I knew that God had got different things for me to do, and it's been a very interesting 6 months, really has. And what I'm going to say this morning is basically sort of things I've reminded myself of in the last 6 months. No rocket science, because no visiting preacher should come back or go anywhere and be controversial or difficult or whatever. So what I say this morning is from my heart, very, very much. The journey that I've been on. And don't worry, Leslie. Where's Leslie? Don't worry, Leslie, I'll finish on time. I've so many times I've sat in those purple chairs when I've given somebody else 10, 15 minutes, and they stand here and they go, Mandy says I can only do 15 minutes. Leslie says, no, I can go on till at least 1 o'clock. Let's go. Let's just see if it still works. It should do. Let's go to Psalm 121. Because the psalm is all about a journey. 3 times a year, the Hebrew people went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it was like their headquarters. They went for 3 particular festivals. They went for Passover, they went for Pentecost, and they went for Tabernacles. And you know, people go on pilgrimage for all sorts of different reasons. And they go to all sorts of different places. Those of you that know me know that was quite a hard pilgrimage to do last Sunday, but you do anything for your goddaughter who supports Arsenal. And many people go on pilgrimage. I'm sorry, it's a bit small. It says, no, I don't know the meaning of life, but if you'll hum a few bars, I'll try to find it on my iPhone. We pilgrim in so many different ways. And this morning, we're going to eavesdrop these pilgrims in Psalm 121, making their way to Jerusalem. Just for a minute, just imagine that huge crowd, that buzz, that atmosphere. Because they were on a road ascending up to Jerusalem, literally climbing up the 7 hills. And this psalm has been called one of the songs of ascent. And another commentator said, here is a song for the road. So this morning, as they remind themselves on their song for the road, let's remind ourselves of us journeying, not to Jerusalem, but journeying to the New Jerusalem, because we're all on that journey. And they used that journey to remind themselves of all that God had done. So along the way, they would sing together. They would say, give me an E.
E.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a C.
C.
What have you got?
B.
Indeed. But they were a bit more worshipful and a bit more holy. But they were journeying together. So let's go on our song for a road. As a pilgrim this morning, we often use the word disciple. We often use the word follower of Jesus. But this morning, I'm going to use the word pilgrim. Someone who is going from one place to another on a journey. And I've got 4 points. So, Leslie, when I get to 4, you know you can put your shoes on. Number 1, Pilgrims on a journey have a focus. The focus for those pilgrims were the mountains of Jerusalem. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Seven hills, 757 meters above sea level. So indeed, they lifted their eyes to the mountain. And the leader starts off with the I. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. And then there's a question. Where does my help come from? And the answer comes straight away. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, those mountains, I found some nicer hills in Yorkshire, those mountains, those hills, they brought moment peace to those pilgrims. They could look and go, oh, this is just an awesome sight. But soon, those mountains would be out of view. So what the psalmist is saying, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help doesn't come from the mountains, but my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The mountains brought momentary uplift for them, but the creator of the mountains brings lifetime answer to that question. This is how Paul puts it in the New Testament. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds on things above. Pilgrims, that's what we need to do. The word set sounds very determined. It sounds very specific, a place and a position. And we know our minds is where we do all that thinking and we do all that reasoning. So Paul says, where are you setting your minds? Where is your focus? And he says, on the things above, the things that are of God, not the things that are of the world. So, pilgrim, where's your focus this morning? Is your focus on all the problems, or is your focus on God? The pilgrims on a journey need to be aware of what lies ahead. Now, before we travel anywhere, we do a little bit of research, don't we? We research how we're going to get there. We research what it's going to be like. We research whether the trains are going to be on strike. Or the baggage handlers at Heathrow. We do all that thinking and that planning. And along the way, road signs are very important to us as we journey. I'll let you take it in. Now, if you were in that car, which way would you go? And would there be an almighty domestic argument as to that sign? In life, sometimes signs are like that. But what about this one? Guild, you'll love this one, of course. I've shown you this one before. Dead end, no outlet, slow down, seniors at play. Helpful. Or this one, I hope you can see it. At the top, it says, your GPS is wrong, underneath, dead end. Now let's think about that in terms of the pilgrim journeying along the road. We have road signs that are like that. And sometimes we think, why ever is this happening? But could I agree on something with you this morning. That being a Christian pilgrim, being a follower of Jesus, does not give us instant immunity to the things of life. Dead end seniors at play, or that road sign that had all the confusion. Life throws us all sorts of things. We don't get this, when we come to Jesus, we don't get this vaccination, that sort of an inoculation to sort of protect us against the hard knocks. We get hurt. We get disappointed. We get let down. And we don't know what lies ahead. But, church, when our focus is the Lord, there he is to help. There's going to be treacherous landscape. He will not let your foot slip. The terrain around Jerusalem where these pilgrims were going to was pretty dodgy. So the worship leader reminds those pilgrims, he will not let your foot slip. Then there was also the temperature fluctuations, the hot and the cold, the different temperatures there in the Middle East. And he says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. They knew about the scorching midday sunshine. They knew about the sudden drop in temperature in the evening. And I guess they understood that this describes life, doesn't it? Those banana skins in life that sort of catch you unawares, that you don't see what's lying ahead. All those dangly moments where you're just holding on and just holding on and dangling there. Life has its knocks, but the psalmist gives us a very welcome reminder. He says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Say the word shade and you know exactly what he's talking about, don't you? Being under that umbrella with a mojito in your hand and enjoying the shade. Thousands of years after the psalmist, Paul understood the pitfalls of life. He understood when he said, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now you look at those verses and you think, yeah, I understand that. I understand the pressed on every side. I understand the perplexed. I understand the persecuted. Listen to how William Barclay puts it. We are sore pressed at every point, but not hemmed in. Persecuted by men and women, but never abandoned by God. At our wits' end, but never at our hope's end. Knocked down and altogether, say it, but absolutely. You see, Paul says that we have this treasure. We have this treasure in clay pots. And Paul had been through it, hadn't he? Paul had been through those hard knocks in life. He knew what it was to be perplexed. He knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew. But he says to those Corinthians, and he says to us, and he says to you teenagers, when it's tough at school, and you know what it means to be picked on and teased for your faith. He knows, and he says, we've got this spiritual treasure, and that will get you through. We can identify with those verses so much, but do we also ever identify with the "but not"? The verse says, yeah, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're stressed, we know all of that, but not. But not knocked out. So, Pilgrim, this morning, focus on the "but not." You might be going through it at the moment, I don't know. You might be finding it really tough about something, I don't know. But I know that God knows, and I know that you have spiritual treasure. So hold on to the "but not." Then the pilgrims on a journey have a traveling companion that is watching over 24/7. You see, these pilgrims, I reckon, must have got a bit bothered, a bit tired. The men would be a bit grouchy. And they must have said to one another, you know, or to the worship leader, "Are we nearly there yet?" There must have been that as well. So the worship leader needs to lift up their spirits when they're feeling a bit. And he says to them, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord watches over you. Yahweh is your keeper." And the Greek word there, you knew I'd get that in somewhere, is Shema. Shema. And that literally means to keep or to guard or to persevere, to protect and to watch. Have you got the idea that 8 times in this psalm, the worship leader uses the word guard, protect, care? Let's go to Paul again, because he knew exactly what Shema was all about. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, might possibly, could, if you're lucky, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The idea there, Paul is using that Shema word, is of a soldier guarding, or a bouncer watching over you, refusing entry to your mind, refusing to allow you to not know the "but not," that when you are perplexed, when you are down, the Lord is guarding your mind. And the psalmist says, the person watching over you doesn't slumber nor sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I have a very bizarre fascination with time zones. But I'm certainly no fan of jet lag. Does me head in. But time zones. So it fascinates me that when I'm going to sleep, my friend in Australia is waking up. Fascinates me. Or when I'm in America, and you are all asleep here, I'm watching Jeopardy or the TV. And you see, yes, my maths even can just about count 9 hours ahead or 5 hours back. And yet it fascinates me, because our travelling companion never sleeps. There's never a moment of that 24/7 where God isn't alert and awake. And it reminds me of that hymn that we sometimes used to sing. "The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended." Remember it? "The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning hymns ascended. Thy praise shall sanctify our rest." And then it goes on. This is for, by the way, you guys that are leading worship, this was the sort of the songs of the day years ago. This is what they used to sing. And it says there, "We thank thee that thy church, unsleeping, while earth rolls onward into light, through all the world her watch is keeping, and rests not now by day or night." At this point, Pete is very glad that I'm not now asking him to sing it. And it goes on, the final one, it says, "As o'er each continent and island, the dawn leads on another day. The voice of prayer is never silent, nor dies the strain of praise away." Isn't it brilliant that there's never a nanosecond in a day that isn't covered by the Lord watching over his pilgrims? And isn't it brilliant that 24/7 his pilgrims are praying for his world? And 24/7 there's praise rising. So we sit here right now giving God our praise and our worship. Where in America, I haven't quite got there yet. But in Australia, they've been there, done it. And it's all covered by the 24/7 God watching over us. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore. It follows on, doesn't it? That if our companion is 24/7, never asleep, he's watching over us. Referring to all our activities of life, today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Judaism has a wonderful practice, and it's the mezuzah. The mezuzah on the left is a proper one. The mezuzah on the right is one obviously Andy's ear is different to mine. The one on the right is a mezuzah. Just for you, Armin. Yeah. I had it on my office upstairs, but forget about the fact that it's a play one, really. The proper one is always on the right-hand side of a front door of houses with Jewish practice. And they touch the mezuzah when they're going in and when they're coming out. And inside that mezuzah is a tiny little scroll that reminds them of the Shema, that reminds them of these words: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might or strength." Isn't that a lovely reminder for the pilgrim, reminding them that there's never a moment that God isn't watching over you. His companionship is there. And I will never, ever forget a conversation I had with Jean Whitmill. Is she? Where are you, Jean? You're there. I had a conversation many years ago with Jean, and she said to me, "Whenever I leave the front door, I say, walk with me, Lord." And I'd like to thank you again, Jean, because every day I say that. Walk with me, Lord. So don't forget, pilgrim, that you have a 24/7 walking companion, taking you through your day with all its knocks, with all its everything, but right there. But I want to add a plural, because I believe very much that it's not just a companion in God, but it is companions, plural. "Where does my help come from?" says the psalmist. For sure, we answer, "My help comes from the Lord." But I would also add, my help comes from the Lord and his people, his little helpers. Here in Psalm 121, there were hundreds of those pilgrims together journeying to Jerusalem. And you can just imagine a bit of banter, can't you? You can imagine them, come on, brother Jehiv, whatever, keep going. You can do it. Stop complaining about the blisters. Come on, we're nearly there. You can do it. Let me help you. Here's my hand. Walk with me a little way because you're struggling. I can imagine all of that. You can imagine the gripey ones too. And somebody said, well, don't listen to her. She's always moaning. But somebody's saying, come on, you can do it. You've got hundreds of people here at Enfield Baptist Church. You've got that same sense of togetherness. It's wonderful. Hundreds of you travelling together, supporting and encouraging one another. And I say to you from my heart, never, ever take this place for granted. Don't ever come in here and think, oh, I've got to do church again. Because I've been out and about in the last 6 months, and the churches that I've been to would just long for what you have here. They would long to experience that worship. It blew me away this morning. That first 10 seconds of singing with so many people, I thought, whoa, I've missed you. I've missed you very much. But I long for other churches to experience what you have. So could I say to all of you, so pilgrims, journey on. Don't ever lose your focus. Know that you've got a 24/7 companion watching over you and that you're doing this together. Amen. I'm finishing off. Well, Tim said I was, and then I didn't.